Amen. You may be seated. Indeed, God needs to be our vision. He needs to be our high Lord of heaven. As we come into His presence, let us prepare our hearts for the Word as we take a moment to pray that God would illuminate it for us. Let us pray. Father, we turn to You this morning and we ask You to bless us with Your Word. We need to hear from You. We need to know what we're called to do and what we're called to be. And so we pray this morning, Lord, as we come, that You would come as well, that You would speak to us, and that by Your power, Lord, we would be changed. Give us courage this day to obey Your word to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning's message is entitled, Deeper Water. Deeper Water. And we're going to be looking at the passage in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Where we see one of the miraculous catches of Jesus' ministry on earth. And of course, it'd be impossible for me to talk about Jesus fishing without talking about me fishing. And just this Friday, I was able to go on what I hope to be a weekly trip. It's not always weekly, but to get out, to go out and just spend some time with the Lord in peace and quiet and fish. And this particular Friday, I was going to some new places, and it was a day that had many challenges in it. It was what I would call in many ways a remarkable day. I started the morning having forgotten my camera. I try and document my fishing trips. I have a blog where I talk about fishing and the trips I take, and so I remembered I'd forgot my camera on the way out and was kind of troubled by that. And as I'm driving out to this new place, I keep seeing fish. It's kind of hard to see fish when you're driving a car 45, 50 miles an hour. So you can imagine if I'm seeing fish in the water, there are really a lot of them. And so it was a remarkable morning because several times, even in a ditch on the side of the road, I could tell there was a big monstrous redfish just going down this ditch. Bait were flying out of the water on the land. And it was like, stop the car and go catch this thing. And then I'm driving over the overpass as you go down towards Leeville, and you get up on that big bridge and it takes a big swoop around and there's all this open water, and I can literally see a school of redfish just pushing through the water. And we're talking about 20, 30 big fish, bait flying everywhere. And I'm thinking, well, I should stop here and fish. I mean, there's a place to launch my kayak right there. I can go get them. And I just kept pushing on, kept passing up these opportunities. And then finally I get to this new spot, place I've never been before. And I had the map, you know, and I'd studied the map and I'd made all my plans. And as I'm paddling in, it just doesn't look like the map. Now that happens in South Louisiana because the marsh changes every year. Every time a storm comes through, the marsh changes. And so I'm looking around and I'm not quite sure where I am. And then I pull up into this area that's just not where I'm supposed to be. And there are these tails sticking up out of the water, bigger than my hand. I mean, I can stretch my hand pretty far. I want you to imagine a tail of a fish about twice that, sticking up out of the water doing this. Now, that's a fisherman's dream. Okay, you may not get that, but let me tell you, that's a fisherman's dream. I was excited. I was so pumped up about this. And it ended up being a rare day. I'm not going to bore you with the whole fishing story. It ended up being a rare day. And what I want us to get from this and what we're going to see hopefully in the scripture today is that sometimes in life, our journeys don't start out the way we plan them to. Amen? And then along the way, we're going to pass up what appears to be incredible opportunities. Right? And we're going to think, boy, I should go this way. I should go that way. But we stay on the path we're on. And what we find is if we stay with the path we're supposed to be on, we might just have a remarkable day. Our remarkable life. And so let's turn to God's Word this morning as we look at Luke chapter 5, verses 1 and following. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around Him and listening to the Word of God, He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats and the one belonging to Simon and asked him to put out a little from shore. And then He sat down and He taught the people from the boat. When He had finished speaking, He said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boat up on shore, left everything, and followed him. The word of the Lord. Amen. Now, first of all, just some minor details. The Lake Genesaret is the Sea of Galilee. Okay, so terminology, as you're reading through the New Testament, you'll see the Lake Genesaret, Lake Tiberias, and the Sea of Galilee, all the same place. Just depends if you're talking to a Greek, a Roman, or a Jew. That's how they're named. And so nothing uncommon there. And also there are two stories in your scriptures. If you're reading through the Gospels, you'll come across two stories regarding miraculous catches of fish in the Bible. And I don't want to bore you with all my studies this week, but it is quite clear they are different stories. One's at the beginning of Jesus' ministry and one's at the end of Jesus' ministry. One's found primarily in the Gospel of Luke and the other one's found in the Gospel of John at the very end. And so just to make sure you know those two things as we dig deeper into His Word. Now, Jesus is clearly, again, teaching to a large crowd. Remember, we've talked about this. Jesus is starting to move around and do His ministry in the area of Galilee. And people are flocking to Him. He's in the synagogues. You know, I just read this week, somebody said, well, Jesus didn't like churches. Jesus didn't start a religion. He started a spiritual movement. And that's somewhat true. It's somewhat true. But then why was He preaching at synagogues all the time? Jesus loved people wherever they were. He didn't want to be constrained to the church or the synagogue, which was the church of the Jewish day. He didn't want to be constrained to that. He wanted to be able to do both. He wanted to reach people into churches and out of the churches. And as He did this, people were flocking from all over the region to come. And the crowd was so large that it was more convenient for Him to get in a boat. I want you to think about that. It's not many speaking engagements where it's more convenient to get in a boat to be heard. There really had to be a huge crowd. Just a huge crowd. And so I want you to picture this. The people are pushing in. They're trying to get closer. They want to hear Him. They didn't have microphones back then. Y'all are hearing me real well in the back. You could hear me without the microphone, but I'm not yelling at you. But in their day, they'd get closer and the crowds would get tighter and tighter. And so Jesus had to back up so they couldn't get any closer. He wanted everyone to see Him. He wanted everyone to be able to hear Him. And so there He is with this huge crowd sitting on a boat and He was talking to them. He commandeers the boat, if you will. He backs off in the water so everyone can see and hear what He's saying. And we see the fame of Jesus having spread by this. And then He does a remarkable thing after He preaches, after He teaches. He pays for the use of His boat, of the boat. That's what He's doing. He's saying to Simon, "Hey, you let me use your boat. You didn't know what was going to happen. You took a strange turn on your journey. It wasn't quite where you thought you were going to go today. It wasn't the opportunity you had hoped for. Come on. Let's go into deep water. Let's go into deep water." And I think that's going to be where we want to focus this morning on this text. Is, are we, brothers and sisters, those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, those of us who have been called by His name, who are pursuing Him in our lives, are we ready? Are we truly ready to enter into deep, deep water with God? Because that's what we're called to. We're called to enter into deeper water with Christ. And that's the payoff. Now, there's a literal payoff here. It's this miraculous catch of fish. But for us, the payoff isn't, hear me, it isn't about the fish. It's not. It's not even about the journey. It's about who are you traveling with. And are you going to go deeper with Him? Are you going to go deeper? Because look, I know it is easy to be a Christian in the United States of America. It is. Christianity is everywhere. We're talking all the time. Look, I'm conservative, so don't take this the wrong way. And I don't mean to choose sides. But, you know, conservatives, it's awful. Everything's going down the tubes. We're being persecuted. And yeah, we're losing some rights. Don't get me wrong. But look, we don't even know what persecution is. I mean, I got friends who are being persecuted overseas. I got family being persecuted overseas. Okay? It's not that bad here. You know, 90% of the people in our community here in South Louisiana claim Christianity as a religion. 90%. That's remarkable. 55% go to church on a semi-regular basis. That's two times or more a month or less. I mean, two times or more a month, 55%. That's 30 points higher than the national average. Nearly double what's going on in the rest of the country. It's remarkable. So it's easy to have the appearance of being a Christian here in America. But I can tell you what, when I go out fishing in the marsh, especially right now, there's been a massive marsh die-off. Nothing to worry about, it happens all the time. But a massive marsh die-off. And you know what, you paddle out and it just like looks like water everywhere. I mean, just acres and acres. You're out in the middle of the marsh and there's just all this open water. Except for if you look real close, there's little nubs of grass still sticking out. It's about that deep. And unfortunately, that's Christianity in America. It's a mile wide and an inch deep. And Jesus, when He called His disciples, He called them to deeper water, to a deeper walk with Him. If we're honest, we don't have to judge others. We can look at our own walk, right? Maybe it's just me. But when I look at my own walk, I think, Lord, I got so much to know, so much to learn, so much growing to do. I'm still so worried about me on a daily basis. I need to walk deeper with God. This is as much about me as it is about anybody. So as we look at this, I want us to be aware that we're seeking to go deeper. Today in Bible study after worship, we'll be finishing up our study in Galatians. You don't have to have been to one of them to follow one of the studies. And so we're going to be wrapping up in Galatians, and we're going to be starting a new study next week. But in Galatians 6, Paul says these words at verse 7. Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows, or a woman. The one who sows to please their sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. We can't fool God. Can't fool Him. He knows what's really going on in our hearts. You can't put a layer of water over us and hide what's down below, because He will go deeper. We can't buy Him off with a surface level of commitment. So the pressing question I ask again this morning for you to consider and for me to consider is, are we ready to go deeper with Jesus? I want to talk about several things related to that. And you can probably guess what they're going to be, because I talk about them often. But let's begin with what the disciples did. First of all, you have to spend time with Jesus. You have to. You can't go deeper with someone unless you spend time with them. If you're married, you don't get in a deeper relationship with your wife unless you spend time together. If you have children, your relationship doesn't get deeper with them unless you spend time with them. If you want a deeper relationship with God, guess what? Spend time with God. You have to listen to Him. You have to talk to Him. And the first way to do this is prayer. So I want to challenge us today to just carve out a little time. Just a little time. Each day to be in prayer. Maybe that's already a part of your practice. You've already developed that. One way, now I know several people have asked me this morning, what's that on the table? And if this is your bowl, don't take it until after we're done. Because I know it's somebody's bowl in this church. But it was pretty and I picked it up and I used it. But there's an old method of making sure you pray. Maybe some of you know this. You take a rock. And at the end of the day, you put it in your shoe. The shoes you're going to wear tomorrow, right? If you're like me, you have multiple pairs. But you put a rock in your shoe. And so when you put the rock in the shoe, you pray. And you tell God about your day, the good and the bad, and you ask His forgiveness for your sins. It can be as simple as that. And then in the next morning, when you go to put on your shoe, guess what's going to be in it? It's not very comfortable to walk around with a rock in your shoe, is it? And so you take the rock out. And when you take the rock out of your shoe, you say, thank you. Thank you for loving me today. Thank you for the life I have. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for saving my life. Now I'm going to leave this room and I'm going to cause trouble all day. Help me. Help me this day. Help me to go deeper with you as I live in the world. That's prayer. No more complicated than that. So I'm going to put this bowl back here in the back. It's right here on the right side. And when you leave this morning, take a rock. I want to thank Miss Robinson for those rocks. The children have been playing with them for years. I hope you don't, Mrs. Robinson, I hope you don't mind me giving your rocks away. It's for a good cause. Amen. You've got to pray. You've got to spend time with the Lord. You have to recognize Him as God. You have to confess your sins to be changed by Him. You can't go deeper with anyone without a relationship. So there you go. A deeper walk with Jesus begins with prayer, particularly confession of sin. It continues in study. There are so many apparent shortcuts to inner peace in our world today. But there really is only one that works. And to find that one, we have to travel just a little further. We have to pass up those other opportunities. You can't grab a self-help book off the bookshelf. Although I read a lot of them. There's good information in there. Don't get me wrong. But don't stop there. That's just an illusion. The real peace is to travel with Jesus, to walk with Him further, to go further than you plan, to really dive in and study His Word to you. It requires a little more work. Just yesterday I was listening, we were out on the soccer fields. Crawfords were undefeated Saturday, praise the Lord, on the soccer fields. Love that. And it was great. They played well. It was a good day out there and we're all out there just enjoying. Oh, what a pretty day. We're all out there and you know, there's a lot of watching going on, a lot of talking going on the sidelines of a soccer game. And my wife was talking to a friend, and I'm not bragging on her, I'm just telling the truth. This is what happened. And she said, you know, the Bible says, and she started quoting Scripture. You know, that's a very powerful phrase in a conversation with a friend. Do you know what the Bible says? You know, I watch my wife. Now, I'm a pastor. I have all week to study Scripture and get in there and read, and I do, and I love it, and I praise God for that. But she has no demand on her schedule to read. At least twice a day, every day, I find my wife sitting in the bedroom on a little couch we have in there, studying God's Word. Just digging in it. Just digging deep, finding what she needs to know to live life. And because she does that, when she's talking to a friend in need, she can say the words, the Bible says. Now that can be really unhelpful at times. But let me tell you, if you need to hear what the Bible says, there is nothing more helpful than a friend who has walked a little further, gone a little deeper, sought the Lord a little more, who can say to you, you know, the Bible says. Anyone in here besides me ever had someone say, the Bible says, and then what they said was exactly what you needed to hear? Can I get a testimony? Presbyterians do that about once every 10 years. There you go. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. It's so powerful. You realize in that instant, this person loves me. And my Father in heaven knew exactly what I needed to hear today. And this person was just Christ to me. And spoke His words right into my life and into my heart. But that only comes from people who've gone deeper, who've gone past the short answers into a deeper knowledge of what God has to say about life. And so you've got to travel a little further with the Lord. Now, the disciples on the day of the big catch had an incredible choice to make. They walked away from everything. Yeah. I own 4 kayaks. Okay, I've got 5 kids, 5 people in my family. That's my excuse. I've got 3 kids. And so, I have 4 kayaks. I don't think I'm going to leave one beside the road very easily. And it's just my hobby, right? These guys, their entire family's dependence comes from that boat, right? Them working on that boat. Listen to this story. I mean, think about what just happened there. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled the boat so full that they began to sink. When Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on we will catch men." And so they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Get this catch in your mind. All right, I caught a 40-inch redfish Friday. Yeah. It's a big old fish. My kayak is 13 and a half feet long by 32 inches. This fish was flopping over the side of the kayak. I've got a picture. My feet look like little baby feet next to this fish. It did not sink my boat. Not even close. Might have drew an extra half inch of water. These guys are in big boats. These aren't little bitty boats they're in. These are fishing boats. They're larger than this area up here. And they're sinking. Okay, we're talking a lot of fish. Now that's a miracle, right? That's amazing. Brothers and sisters, I think most of you have seen God work in your life in pretty amazing ways. Really do. You may not have seen a boat nearly sink with fish. But He's done something, or you wouldn't be here every week. Amen? Are you going to follow Him for that or not? That's what He's asking. That's what this text is telling me. Is I've done amazing things in your life. Will you go deeper with me? Will you keep traveling past all the other opportunities out there? Will you keep traveling away from your family and friends if necessary? Will you follow me no matter what? Now, He doesn't always demand the no matter what. Praise God. But will you follow me? Here's the key, though, the key moment. None of this happens without one key moment. And of course, it's Simon Peter. "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." See, all the miracles in the world don't matter if we're just sucking them in. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's awesome. Thank you. At some point, we have to be stunned by what's going on. Are you kidding me? Do you know who I am? And you're doing this for me? Peter knew it immediately. This man's sitting in his boat. All this stuff's going on. People are crowding the banks, pushing him into the water. He's done everything that I can imagine to see that day. It was the most remarkable day. Go away from me, Lord. Compared to you, I can't even be in the same boat with you. I don't belong with you. You don't belong with me. Jesus doesn't care. He takes this man, the one who recognizes he does not belong in the same boat with them, and he builds his church with him. He asks him to go deeper and deeper. In Peter's case, all the way to a cross and death. Are you ready to go deeper? I promise you one thing. It may not be all you had hoped for, but it will be a remarkable day when you follow God deeper. Remarkable. Let us pray. Father, we hope to go deeper with you, to know you in deeper ways, to be drawn into deeper paths, to acknowledge you with all of our lives and all of our being, to leave our boats behind and take the blessing you give us to seek your glory in all the world, to be challenged to live according to your will. And Lord, if you give us glory along the way, then so be it. We give you thanks, but we are not worthy. We acknowledge today that only you are holy. But Lord, we also recognize that you are loving and good and that you have chosen us, and we pray that you would use us to your glory. And that along that path, we would recognize your adoption as children, that we would pray just as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.